at 10:06.
This is Radio Times. I'm Jeff Brady, filling in for Marty Moskowing. Travis Mannion was killed by a sniper in Iraq in 2007. When his good friend Brendan Looney died 3 years later in a helicopter crash in Afghanistan, Mannion's family moved Travis's remains from Pennsylvania to Arlington National Cemetery so the two soldiers could be buried next to each other. Travis's father has co-written a book about the two men. It's titled Brothers Forever. Tom Mannion is a retired Marine colonel, and he's chairman emeritus of the Travis Mannion Foundation. He lives in Doylestown and joins us here in the studio. Welcome to Radio Times.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And on the phone, we have the other co-author of this book, Tom Saleo. He's a nationally syndicated columnist and editor of a website that profiles veterans. It's called UnknownSoldiersBlog.com. And welcome to Radio Times, Tom Saleo.
Thanks so much, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Good to have you. I want to start with you, Tom Mannion, since you're both named Tom. I might use both your first and last names here,
okay.
So it'll sound a little formal, but help
sure.
us keep things clear. I want to start by having you, Tom Mannion, introduce us to your son. I know he was an athlete, he was a good student, a smart guy. What kind of a man was he?
Well, we moved around a lot. In Travis's early years. Travis is my only son.
You were a colonel in the Marines.
I was active duty Marine Corps for 10 years, and during that time we moved a lot. And Travis and his older sister, Ryan, were very close. And, I think they really grew through all those events from school to school. They made friends easy. Both Travis and Ryan. I think, I would say that Travis was very good-natured at heart, had a really good sense of humor, did always well in school, and wasn't the most natural athlete, I would say, but you probably wouldn't find anyone that would outwork him. And that all came together when he was in high school, and he's a high school American wrestler. He was on the high school championship team at LaSalle College High School with the football team, and was also a lacrosse player for the LaSalle lacrosse team, and he was an all-league lacrosse player.
A popular guy in school, it sounds like to me from reading your book.
Yeah, he was the type of guy that really connected really well with people, and always, too, somebody was sort of looking out for others.
And Tom Saleo, help us learn a little bit more about Brendan Looney. He was also an athlete, also a smart guy.
Yes, he was. I'm actually from the Washington, D.C. area originally, and Brendan growing up in suburban Maryland played football at DeMatha High School, which, if you live in the D.C. area, DeMatha is really synonymous with powerhouse in terms of athletics. And Brendan carried that athletic prowess into the Naval Academy, playing football at Navy at the beginning of his collegiate career, and then shifting to the lacrosse team where he was an integral part of the 2004 Navy lacrosse team that went to the national championship game and nearly won. They narrowly lost that game to Syracuse, which, as you probably know, they're a big lacrosse powerhouse as well. But Brendan was definitely a great athlete. Colonel Mannion could speak even more to that since he knew Brendan well. But like Travis, I think it made for a friendly competition between the two of them to push each other.
And they met at the U.S. Naval Academy. Tom Mannion, you're a retired colonel with the Marines. Did your son always want to serve in the military too?
Well, he certainly had a lot of exposure to that, and he was never pressured by me. I think he had times where he thought about it, and he ended up, when he was getting ready to look at colleges, wanting to look at the Naval Academy because he had been exposed to that quite a bit. We were down there for football games or to see friends. So, we ended up going in that direction. But Travis actually left the Naval Academy. Thought it was right for him, and then went there for one semester.
Left and went to Drexel.
Came to me and said, "Dad, this place isn't working for me."
But then he went back later.
He did. He came to me after a semester at Drexel and had a change of heart and realized that maybe he wasn't missing out on as much as he thought he was in the college life and wanted to reapply to Navy.
So Brendan and Travis were both at the Naval Academy, and they were there on September 11th. And Tom Saleo, maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you write about that day in the book. How did Brendan and Travis experience that day?
Well, Brendan and Travis, I think, like many of the midshipmen at the Naval Academy, were getting their day started with classes, and then all of a sudden, America was under attack. There were fears that the Naval Academy could be a target. We talk in the book about some of the extraordinary measures that were being taken at the Naval Academy in Dallas. And I think Travis, like their fellow midshipmen, were quietly realizing that their lives, all of our lives changed by 9/11, of course, but when you're talking about two young men who are at a military academy preparing to serve our country, I think that realization that, America was going to war, even amid all the confusion and the chaos and tragedy of 9/11, I think that was very powerful for them and all the other midshipmen that they were, watching the events of that day alongside.
Sure. And Tom Mannion, how did you see 9/11 affect your son, Travis?
Well, I think as Tom shared, it was you could see in Travis's eyes the impact from that point forward, and you could feel the atmosphere down at the Naval Academy had changed forever. It was just a whole different atmosphere and different feeling down there before that point. And as I said, we had been down there often. And once that happened, there was a realization with all of them that they were going to be directly involved one way or the other.
And after they graduated from the Naval Academy in 2004, they didn't go into combat right away. Brendan went into Naval Intelligence, and Travis went to the basic school for Marine Corps officers in Quantico. And you write in the book that when he finally did go into combat, in 2005 was the first deployment, and that experience changed him. How did it change him?
It's hard to sort of to describe it, but when he came back from that tour, he just seemed much more. I don't know the right word. Maybe
you wrote in the book that he seemed more confident. He was maybe quieter.
Well, he certainly had. That confidence was easy to see, but it was also the fact that he had seen something that others hadn't seen and he'd never seen before, and that was this place away from the United States and the tragedy and the suffering that was happening there, and the opportunity that he had to make an impact. And so from that standpoint, he was a lot more serious and a lot more worldly than, he had ever come close to.
Yeah. And in the book, there's one point that really struck me where you and your co-author, Tom Saleo, write about where he knew that he took an action and someone died because of that action. He killed a sniper in Iraq. That was a really powerful part of the book, and he struggled with that.
Yeah, like a lot of these stories, we found that out afterwards. And turns out he had called home and he had talked to a good friend who's mentioned in the book, Marine Major Steve Cantrell. And he had called Steve to sort of describe what he felt when that happened. And Steve spent some time talking to him about how to handle that.
I want to talk now about the day that Travis was killed. That was April 22nd, 2007. And
29th.
Oh, April 29th. Oh, I'm sorry. I had April 27th was a week before when you had your final conversation with him. Is that correct? On the cell phone?
Yeah, it wasn't the 27th. It was a week prior.
22nd.
Probably
yeah.
The 22nd.
So in this book, Brothers Forever, you lay out with a lot of detail that day that he died. Is that, how did you learn that information?
Well, Travis was nominated for Navy Cross, and he was eventually awarded a Silver Star for his actions that day. But part of that award process is they have what's called a summary of action that's put together, and that's built off the situation reports that they have and that they collect at the higher headquarters. And so we had some of that insight from that information.
And Tom Saleo, maybe you could help kind of run us through that day. They were on a daytime mission in Fallujah, and they'd received some intelligence about the location of a sniper. Could you pick up the story from there? We just have a minute here.
Sure. Fellow Marines who we spoke with pieced together the events of that day even further.
Unfortunately, the phone line is not sounding good, but maybe Tom Mannion, you can help pick up that story of that day. They were in Iraq. It was a daytime mission. They were going to.
Yeah, they were in search of a sniper, actually, that had been out and about and creating problems for the Marines and the Iraqis, and they had some intel. They searched a few homes. They ended up in a narrow alleyway, and a young boy told them that the sniper was in a home. They went in there, and finally figured out that it was a trap, and on their way back to their vehicles, the dock was hit, and then one of the other Marines was hit, and they were surrounded, found themselves surrounded.
We're going to have to pick up that discussion after a minute here, but this is an important part of the book, and I want to spend some time on it. We're talking with Tom Mannion. He's the father of Travis Mannion, and we also have on the telephone Tom Saleo. They wrote a book called Brothers Forever. If you have questions or comments, you can join the discussion at 1-888-477-9499. We'll be back after a break.
Thomas Jefferson University Hospital is proud to support WHYY. With a hospital dedicated just to neuroscience, Jefferson treats complex disorders of the brain and spine with advanced technologies and research. Jefferson's multidisciplinary team of neurology specialists devises individual treatment plans for patients with everything from aneurysm to epilepsy. Thomas Jefferson University Hospital. To make an appointment or for more information, the number is 1-800-JEFF-NOW or online at jefferson.edu.
During an election season, you need a source of information that you know you can trust. Well, from interviews with the candidates to coverage of the debates and the issues, that information is available right here on WHYY. Member support gives WHYY the time to devote to all the news and information that matters. I'm Marty Moscowane. Do your part right now to keep WHYY strong. Make a pledge at 1-888-345-9499 or visit WHYY.org. Thanks.
I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Senator Mitch McConnell is one of the leading Republican voices on Capitol Hill, but he has high disapproval ratings at home in Kentucky. What will that mean when he faces a challenger in Tuesday's primary? That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
This afternoon at 1 on WHYY.
Welcome back to Radio Times. I'm Jeff Brady in for Marty Moskowain. We're talking with two men who co-authored the book Brothers Forever. And the subtitle of that book is The Enduring Bond Between a Marine and a Navy SEAL That Transcended Their Ultimate Sacrifice. We have the co-authors with us. In studio is Tom Mannion, and on the telephone is Tom Saleo. If you want to join the conversation, you can call 1-888-477-9499. And Tom Mannion, we were talking about the day that your son was killed in Iraq in 2007. They were in Fallujah. It was a daytime mission. They were out in search of a sniper and had received a tip of where that sniper was. The detail in this book is extraordinary. We hear everything up until the moment.
Right. Well, of course, as I said, you know, we had the some of the action reports that we could use, and then we talked to the Marines that were there. So we actually had a chance to sit down and talk with them, and the ability to use all that to recreate the situation that day.
And what's it like for you as his father to take in that detail of information?
You know, in some respects, it was good to sort of finally know exactly what happened. Other parts of it were extremely hard. Just as that came together, a lot of the interviews Tom Saleo did. And it's probably better that it happened that way. He would talk to them, and then he'd come back, and then we'd put it together. But it was certainly hard to go through it again. But it was also, in a way, good to know more of the detail of what happened.
And Tom Saleo, let's talk about the day that Brendan was killed. That was just about 3 years later, September 21st, 2010. He had finished some difficult training to become a Navy SEAL. He married his wife, Amy, in the period after he graduated from the Naval Academy. He had a tour in Iraq, and then they were in Afghanistan on that day that he was killed. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, Brendan Looney, Lieutenant, United States Navy SEAL, had completed 58 combat missions during that deployment to Afghanistan. A lot of important operations, anti-terror operations, and he was about to go. He was on his 59th combat mission on a helicopter with several other Navy SEALs and Special Forces soldiers as well, and they were attempting to land on the top of a mountain to begin their operations when the helicopter tragically crashed. And it was obviously an extremely tragic event, but like Travis's fellow Marines, several of Brendan's fellow Navy SEALs were kind enough to speak with us about not only the events of the day Brendan was taken from us, but the missions, those 58 combat missions leading up to that tragic event.
And in that helicopter crash, eight others died, five soldiers and three fellow SEALs. President Obama had highlighted the story of both Travis Mannion and Brendan Looney during his Memorial Day speech in 2011. That was at Arlington National Cemetery, of course. And we have some audio that I want to play of that speech. The president is talking about the day that Brendan and Travis died. First, he's talking about Travis.
On April 29th, 2007, while fighting to rescue his fellow Marines from danger, Travis was killed by a sniper. Brendan did what he had to do. He kept going. He poured himself into his SEAL training and dedicated it to the friend that he missed. He married the woman he loved, and his tour in Korea behind him, he deployed to Afghanistan. On September 21st of last year, Brendan gave his own life, along with eight others, in a helicopter crash. Heartbroken, yet filled with pride, Mannions and the Loonies knew only one way to honor their son's friendship. They moved Travis from his cemetery in Pennsylvania and buried them side by side here at Arlington. Warriors for Freedom, reads the epitaph written by Travis's father. Brothers forever.
That was a 2011 speech on Memorial Day by President Obama, and the end of their Brothers Forever. That, of course, is the title of your book about Travis and Brendan. And Tom Mannion, you also received recognition from former President George W. Bush. You were in the Oval Office, as I understand.
That's right.
What was that like for you? I mean, you have the obvious heartbreak, but also that kind of recognition when a president chooses your son's story and his friend's story to highlight. That means something.
Well, I think both Travis and Brendan would be the first to say that it's a story about them, and the president mentioned them, but it's the bigger story about all those that are side by side with them down in Section 60 of Arlington, all those that have sacrificed, all those that are still in harm's way. And I think the other thing that the president said is, this story is America's story. And when you think about Travis and Brendan, they met at the Naval Academy just before 9/11, and they were laid to rest, and the president spoke about them a few weeks after the Navy SEALs captured and killed Osama bin Laden. So you think about that time span, it stretches that whole period that we as a country were in Afghanistan and Iraq and all that has happened since. And you think about the two of them as a representation of the rest of these guys, that these men and women that have served and sacrificed so much for the country.
And the president mentioned your decision to relocate Travis's remains to Arlington National Cemetery. He was buried in Pennsylvania first. I think your wife wanted him close so she could visit the grave, is what you write in the book. How did you reach the decision to relocate his body to Arlington?
Well, we actually, before Travis went back, it's not the type of thing as parents you want to talk to your son about. What happens if? And so we really did never have that discussion with him. And then, when we lost him, you're in a state of shock, and we're just thinking about having him close to us. So we made the decision to bury him locally here near Doylestown. And then afterwards, we started to hear from family and friends that my son had some pretty serious conversations with people about if anything happened to him, he wanted to be in Arlington. So we really held off on anything permanent there. We actually had a wooden cross at the cemetery, and I actually called down to Arlington to see if there's a chance we could move him down. And so we found out that we could. My daughter and I were more ready to do it. My wife was there almost every day visiting Travis, and she sort of wanted to do it, but she couldn't find a way to make it, make the decision. And so when we lost Brendan, when they asked Amy where she wanted
Amy, his wife.
Amy, his wife, yeah, I'm sorry. Amy, his wife, where she wanted him buried, Brendan buried, she said, I want him, Brendan, next to Travis in Arlington. And, of course, at that point we said, well, Amy, Travis isn't in Arlington. But it was, sort of the light bulbs went off with everyone, especially my wife. She said, well, this is what needs to happen. This is the time that we need to move Travis.
Such a powerful story, the two of them there side by side in Arlington National Cemetery. And Tom Saleo, you write about people in the military all the time. Why do you think people connect with this story about Travis Mannion and Brendan Looney?
Well, I think as Colonel Mannion put so eloquently, it represents this generation's service and sacrifice. I think, like he said, Travis and Brendan's story is America's story. And, I remember visiting Travis and Brendan at Arlington on the first Christmas after Brendan passed away, before I had ever connected with the Mannion and Looney families. I went on to write a newspaper column about Travis and Brandon, the first syndicated column that I had written for Creators Syndicate. And I've spoken with, hundreds of military family members since. And every story, of course, is deeply moving to me and stays with me. But there was something about this story when I had first connected and spoken to Colonel Mannion's daughter, Ryan, because I felt this the same way, that this was a bigger story about this generation, when you have these two young men who are such great friends, such great leaders, and they're resting side by side for all time. I think it's a story that Americans can really embrace and help everyone understand, the 99% of us, including myself, that may not have served in uniform, that can reconnect us with that 1% that has and has sacrificed so much for decades, but and particularly since 9/11 with our all-volunteer military. So I think it's a very special story, and I really hope people will take the time to read Brothers Forever and honor these two men and this entire generation of heroes.
That's Tom Saleo. He's one of the co-authors of that book, Brothers Forever. Tom Mannion is here in the studio. He lives in Doylestown. And if you'd like to join the conversation, the telephone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can also email us, radiotimes@whyy.org, or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. If you're a veteran, if you're a parent of a veteran, we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts as you think about this book, Brothers Forever? And Tom Mannion, after your son was killed in Iraq in 2007, you created a foundation in his name, the Travis Mannion Foundation. Tell us how that foundation got started.
Well, it was as simple as friends stepping forward to say, in lieu of flowers, please send your support to a memorial fund that they had helped us set up. And before we knew it, we got money from across the country, and we were sitting with a couple $100,000, and my wife thought about the words that my son shared before he went back for his second tour, if not me, then who? And we used those five words, and she created the foundation, and it's been growing every year since. And my daughter, I lost my wife a couple years ago to cancer, but my daughter now has taken the lead and continues to push forward with the If Not Me Then Who movement.
I was going to mention that you've experienced a lot of loss just in the last few years. First your son in 2007, his best friend in 2010, your wife to cancer in 2012. That's a lot of loss in a short period.
Yeah, it certainly is, and it's it makes you realize that life is precious, and we're not here for a long while. So while we are here, got to make it matter.
The foundation, you mentioned, it started with sort of the in lieu of flowers that often is mentioned when someone passes away. But we're not talking about just a couple $100,000. This has become quite a concern, because you've raised a fair amount of money over the last couple of years.
Yeah, now we're really being able to make a bigger impact, and every year it goes that way. We've got veterans working with us to go out and spread the If Not Me Then Who message to the youth, and it's not about recruiting for military service either. It's about making it matter, whether it's with your family, at your schools, in your communities. You don't have to be in military uniform to follow the If Not Me Then Who rally.
And so what sort of things do you do with the foundation?
We have the character program, where we go out with veterans and speak to the youth. We've got transition services for our veterans, where we help them with internships. We've got challenge trips that we put together for families of the fallen, try to work with them to challenge themselves to work through the grief that they're dealing with. And we've got a 9/11 Heroes Run where we're out across the country building awareness of our first responders and the men and women in uniform, military.
We're talking about the book Brothers Forever. On the telephone, we have Tom Soleo, the co-author of the book. And I want to talk with you about sort of how the book came out. How did you you hear a lot of stories, I'm sure many of them compelling. How did it sort of come about that this is the one that's going to be a book?
Well, as I mentioned, the first newspaper column I had written for Creator Syndicate was about Travis and Brendan, and stayed in touch with Colonel Mannion's daughter, Ryan, in the months following that column. And I wound up joining the Travis Mannion Foundation to help with some of their communications effort, extraordinary organization. And as I got started in that effort, Colonel Mannion approached me and talked about this book that he had been wanting to put together since the death of Travis, of his son, and he had begun to work on that effort. But after Brendan's tragic passing, I think Colonel Mannion realized that this was an even bigger story, bigger than his own son, bigger than his friendship with Brendan, but about all of America's heroes. And as soon as Colonel Mannion mentioned his idea to me and generously asked me if I wanted to join him in this effort, there really was no decision to make. It was an honor to have the chance to play a small role in getting this very important story told in Brothers Forever.
And how did you go about, we just have about 30 seconds here, but tell us sort of how you went about gathering some of this information. Like I mentioned before, some of the details surrounding key events is pretty extraordinary.
Sure. Working with Colonel Mannion to identify and get in touch with the Marines and the Navy SEALs who served with Travis and Brendan. And then, of course, Colonel Mannion himself, his late wife, Janet Mannion, before her passing. I mean, she sat down for some very emotional interviews with both of us, Brendan's wife, Amy, and so many other friends and family members who really all came together to help us paint a portrait of Brendan and Travis that hopefully many Americans will connect with when they read Brothers Forever.
That's Tom Soleo. He's co-author of the book Brothers Forever. We also have in the studio Tom Mannion, the father of Travis Mannion, who was killed in Iraq in 2007. His best friend was killed in Afghanistan in 2010, Brendan Looney. The book is about the two men and their lives. And if you want to join our conversation, call 1-888-477-9499. You can also email radiotimes@whyy.org or tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. We'll be back after a break.
Supporting WHYY, Friends School Haverford, a coeducational Quaker school for preschool through 8th grade located in Haverford, minutes from the Blue Route and 76. Rigorous academics in a community where everyone is known. Commitment to help meet the needs of each child in subjects including a math program that can take capable students through calculus. Gardens, chickens, a classroom economy program, sports, and extracurriculars like horseback riding and fencing. Now accepting applications for the fall. Details at friendshaverford.org.
Louis C.K.'s comedy about divorce, parenting, work, and sex often takes his audiences to uncomfortable places.
You feel a little sweat on the back of your neck when you get there, but if you stay there for a second, you can find something joyful and funny in it.
Louis C.K. talks about the new season of his FX series, Louis, on the next Fresh Air. Join us.
This afternoon at 3, and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
Female soldiers represent 15% of the active military, and they're returning home in record numbers. These women are at much higher risk than their male soldiers for developing PTSD. Moreover, when they do return home, they're likely to be single parents supporting children. I'm Dan Gottlieb, and on the next Voices in the Family, returning female soldiers. today at noon here on WHYY FM.
This is Radio Times. I'm Jeff Brady in for Marty Moskowain. We're talking about the book Brothers Forever with co-authors Tom Saleo and Tom Mannion. If you want to join the conversation, the number is 1-888-477-9499. We'd like to hear from veterans and parents of veterans if you have thoughts as you're listening to our conversation this morning. 1-888-477-9499. And Tom Saleo, I want to turn to you. You have this blog, an unknown soldier's blog. Is it .org or .com?
.com.
Okay. and you have this blog. You write about soldiers and kind of tell their stories all the time. How long have you focused on this topic?
Well, I left CNN in late 2009 and launched the Unknown Soldiers blog, really for the reasons you outlined, to try to spotlight the heroism and sacrifice of our military community, of young men and women like Travis and Brendan, who really define that spirit every day, if not me, then who. And the blog evolved in 2011, starting with the column about Travis and Brendan, evolved into a nationally syndicated column that's distributed by Crater Syndicate. I believe the closest newspaper to your station is the Center Daily Times in State College, Pennsylvania, that runs the column every week. But, I try to give Americans a window into all these sacrifices that have been made and continue to be made. My last column, for instance, was about a young hero who was killed, taken at a very young age, who died in Afghanistan less than a year ago. And it's sad to say that there are some Americans who may not realize that our troops are still serving and sacrificing in harm's way on a daily basis. And I'm hopeful that the newspaper column and certainly a book like Brothers Forever will help remind all of us, especially as we come up on Memorial Day, about all of those who take it upon themselves to serve and sacrifice so the rest of us can live in relative peace here at home.
That's Tom Saleo, the co-author of the book Brothers Forever. And we're going to go to the telephone. We have Bill from East Oak Lane, and you're on Radio Times, Bill.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for calling.
I just wanted to call in and kind of offer a different point of view. I actually graduated from the high school that Travis went to, LaSalle College High School, and I actually had the opportunity to kind of grow up in the legacy that this young man kind of led. And the Travis Mannion Foundation was very active when I was a student. But now I actually got to come back and work at the high school, and I see every day, there's a plaque on the wall that says, if not me, then who? And there's actually a picture of Travis. And I see how the message of Travis and the foundation, every day is impacting these young men that we educate. And it's kind of a very moving experience for me right now, because I'm kind of finally hearing the full story, and it's just been incredible. So kind of just wanted to offer that very local perspective of, day in and day out, this story is still being told, and an example is being shown to, the next generation of young men who are living in, this era of these kind of wars and this kind of, volunteer service.
Well, thank you for calling in, Bill, and sharing your thoughts with us. Anything that you want to say, Tom Mannion?
No, thanks. Thanks, Bill, for calling in. Thanks for sharing that. And we really... it used to motivate my wife every day, if not me, then who? That's what keeps my daughter and I going forward, trying to get out there and get that message across to everyone.
I think there's an issue that we've sort of touched on here, but not completely, and that is how soldiers who are coming back from places like Iraq and Afghanistan, how they're treated. What do you think about how soldiers today are treated?
Well, I really think that people appreciate their service, but they really don't understand it. And And that is, again, why I thought it was so important to sort of tell this story from the human interest standpoint, so that people would get to know who Brendan Looney was as a person and Travis Mannion as a person and their friendship and their families. And a lot of the books that are out there today are talking about these guys in a military setting and the conflicts they're in. But, you know, maybe people don't have enough time to really get to know these guys that are right down the street from them. They're people that have grown up in their neighborhoods, trying to make that connection for everyone.
You know, for me, spending the last few days thinking about this, reading your book, an observation sort of occurred to me, and I don't know if it's completely accurate, but I think about my grandparents in World War II, and I wonder if, sort of like as a public, we kind of treat veterans as we think about the war. World War II, veterans were very much celebrated, those iconic photographs. And Vietnam, veterans came back, and there was criticism, and there was a lot of criticism of that war. Iraq and Afghanistan, I'm not sure that a lot of people have really connected with those military actions, and I wonder if people have really connected with the veterans of those actions.
Well, I think that's the risk that we have with an all-volunteer military. It's certainly something that Secretary Gates had highlighted while he was the Secretary of Defense, and I think it's a challenge for us moving forward to really connect those that serve in the military with the rest of the country.
Let's go back to the telephone. We have Larry from Bucks County. Larry, you're on Radio Times.
Yes, thanks for sharing Travis's story. When I first learned about it, and I live in the Doylestown area, I was so moved that I went down to the offices and, among other things, picked up a bracelet and a pin, and I wasn't able to financially support it well. But I'm a Vietnam vet from the United States Merchant Marine and didn't think much about my service. I was involved in Ivyland project to employ vets in a pilot program. And after learning about Travis's story and going down there, I decided to change the project instead of including vets to make it an all-veterans apprenticeship program there. And we're now allied with the Patton Foundation as part of this. It's been a long slog there, but the plan is a sound one, and we're getting support all over the place.
And you find inspiration in Travis Mannion's story then?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been wearing his bracelet every day since I was down there several years ago. It's on my wrist now. And it's not my first choice in work, but I am involved in energy efficiency and energy use reduction, demand reduction. But I look at it every day, and when I think about my service and when I think about the service of others, I just can't help but to stay involved, and it's become a big part of my life. I'm part of Vet's Journey Home.
Very good. Larry, thank you for calling in to Radio Times today. Tom Saleo, you heard Larry talk there. Clearly, this is an important issue for him. He's moved to action. I guess you probably want to see the same for other people.
Yes, absolutely, and something that Larry just said reminded me of the fact that Brendan himself wore a bracelet every single day when he was in Iraq and then Afghanistan, including on his final mission. He wore a bracelet with Travis's name. We talk about that extensively in the book. Colonel Mannion and his wife Janet gave that to Brendan. And, he was inspired himself by if not me, then who, and by that legacy. And now so many others are inspired by Brendan and his legacy. And I think Larry's point underscores that these young men and many others like them have made such a difference in the world even after they've passed away, and they continue to every day.
And Tom Mannion, where did that phrase come from? If not me, then who?
Well, when Travis was getting ready to go back for a second tour, he was actually down at the Philadelphia Eagles game with my son-in-law. And my son-in-law joked at him that he would figure out a way to help him break his ankle so he wouldn't have to go back. And, you know, he said it in a kidding way, and Travis looked at him and got serious all of a sudden and said to him, "If not me, then who? Dave, if I don't go back, who's going to go back in my place? Somebody much less experienced than me will have to go, and it's my time to go." And so when we lost Travis a few months later, my son-in-law came up to us and shared that story. And it just resonated with everyone. And before long, that was our rally cry for the foundation.
I wonder if there are certain photos or certain things that you hold on to, photos you look at or things that you hold on to when you want to think about your son. Sort of, what is your process? How do you do that now?
Well, you know, we have certainly have photos around the house that we have of Travis, and so that's our memory. I have I wear his dog tags every day. I've got his dog tags on right now, so that keeps him close to my heart, and he's always there.
And how did you, Tom Saleo said that you sort of talked with him about this book. What? How did that idea come about for you?
For the book itself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was talking to Tom Mannion. I was interested in Tom Mannion. How did the idea of the book come up? Because you talked with the other Tom about writing the book, correct?
Well, yeah. And originally, I had heard a lot from the Marines that had served with Travis that he made quite an impression on the Iraqis and the impact he had over there. And then, of course, when they started to have certain things come back, they named an outpost after Travis the Iraqis had. And then we had the Marines that awarded Travis a Silver Star for his actions that day. And then more information came back about what he had done leading up to that final day. I felt like it was maybe something that I needed to share with the rest of the country. And as Tom said, I was contemplating that. I was thinking about how to pull that together. And I actually had made a trip over to Iraq to visit with the Iraqis, and I actually had spoken to the Iraqis that served with Travis. And then shortly after I came back, we lost Brendan. And, you know, I just thinking about that whole experience, thinking about Travis and Brendan together, felt like, as Tom said, there was a bigger story here to tell.
And Tom Saleo, you say you want that story to be not just about Travis and Brendan, but you want this to be about all veterans. Sort of, how do you kind of widen that focus then?
I think if folks read Brothers Forever, it's pretty apparent in the story that's put together, not because of anything that I've done, but the contributions of these Marines and Navy SEALs who helped us tell this story, but they're also very important characters in this book. I think you'll, when people read about someone like Brian Stan, who was a Marine who was awarded the Silver Star for heroism, a dear friend of Travis, and when people read about someone like him and the amazing things he's went on to do since he came back from Iraq, or Rob Sarver, who was a Navy SEAL, one of Brendan's closest friends in the SEALs, and he's come back from Iraq and Afghanistan and makes a difference every day in our society and played a huge role in helping us tell this story. I think people are going to realize that our veterans are, you know, of course, we all want to thank our veterans. We all want to salute our veterans, but we also should recognize that these are leaders. They're leaders in our communities. I think they're going to be leaders at, you know, they already are leaders at the local and national level, and I think that'll get even more prominent in the years to come. And I think hopefully a story like this one, when Americans read about all these heroes, Travis and Brendan, but also those men and women that surrounded them, I think people are going to be really inspired.
And Tom Mannion, the book is recently out, so you're probably on touring around talking about the book now, which is of course why you're here. But what's in your future?
Well, the future is just as you described. We've got a book tour right now, and we're really focused on making sure we can get the word out as broadly as possible. And we're off to a great start. We've got some good media support that's been scheduled, and we've had some outstanding early reviews. So we're super excited about where we are right now, and we're going to do what we can to get the message out.
The book is called Brothers Forever, and the subtitle, it's kind of long, but I think it summarizes nicely what the book is about. And the subtitle is The Enduring Bond Between a Marine and a Navy SEAL That Transcended Their Ultimate Sacrifice. It's about two men, actually both served in Iraq, and Travis Mannion died there in 2007, Brendan Looney in Afghanistan in 2010. Tom Mannion is a retired colonel with the U.S. Marine Corps, and he's the father of First Lieutenant Travis Mannion. He's chairman emeritus of the Travis Mannion Foundation. Thanks so much for being here on Radio Times.
Thank you.
And on the phone, Tom Saleo is co-author of the book Brothers Forever. He's a nationally syndicated columnist distributed by Creator Syndicate. He also edits the site unknownsoldiersblog.com, and he is a Robert Novak Journalism Fellow. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
And I'm Jeff Brady, filling in for Marty Moskowain.